Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Sadri Channel, we once again welcome you in our program called Dua. Inshallah, today we will have a topic called Dua and sayings of our pious predecessors, what they have said about making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be with us from start to end, you'll be learning a lot insha'Allah azza wa jal. But before we proceed our program, let me remind you, we will have insha'Allah a few segments in this program also. We'll be learning one dua from Quran. We will also be learning one message of the day insha'Allah azza wa jal. And furthermore, a beautiful personality in the history of Islam insha'Allah azza wa jal, we will select one and we'll be talking about the biography of that personality. So be with us from start till end, and don't forget, at the end of this program we will be making collective dua inshallah, and you can join in that dua too. Before we proceed inshallah and we discuss our topic, let's make few good intentions, because my Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al Ali, founder of Dawat Islam, founder of Madani Channel, has given us a beautiful mindset that we should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or do any good deed. I make this intention inshallah, I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which should be the foremost intention every believer should have before doing any good deed. And you be with us and make this intention inshallah. You will be watching this program, listening with concentration, remembering what you learn, and passing this knowledge on to others. And remember, the more intentions you can make, higher the reward you can attain. And you can easily multiply your reward by adding as many good intentions as possible. Alhamdulillah, today I've got our brother, Muballigh of Dawat-e-Islami, Muhammad Wasim Abbas Attari with us, and a brother, Muhammad Amir Attari with us, inshallah, who will also recite Naat. Let's go towards them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wasim Abbasbi, how are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillah, ina kulli hal, jazani, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Once again, welcome, marhaba. In this program, Amir Bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you? You okay?
Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.
MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Let's start with a beautiful naat of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Praise of Rasul alayhi wa sallam.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد وسوي لا نزار بھیتے ہیں وسوي لا نزار بھیتے دن بہار پھیتے ہیں تیرے دن بہار پھیتے ہیں اس گلی کا گدا ہوں میں گلی کا گدا ہوں میں جس میں مانگتے تاجدار پھیتے ہیں مانگتے تاجدار پھیتے ہیں اور پھول کیا دشتِ تیبا کے خار
شیدا ہزار پھرتے ہیں وہ سوئے لال زار پھرتے ہیں.
Expecting was a fun mission, as I earlier said, we'll be talking about dua and things of our pious predecessors. There are various aqwal and sayings which have been mentioned by ulama-i kiram, by mashayikh diwan, insha'Allah azza wa jal, with regards to dua. What are those, insha'Allah azza wa jal, we will be talking about? Well, first of all, Wasim Rasmai, when we discuss this topic, very first question I would like to present and ask you, that when a person makes dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is that, alhamdulillah, we have been encouraging our viewers since we have started this program that dua is the essence of worship, and it is indeed one of the most beautiful ibadah, and we should always seek alhamdulillah forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all our needs and desires, whatever we want, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we should make dua. This is what we've been encouraging, and this is all about this program. But subhanallah, ulama, they have also discussed that what are those occasions or moments when one should not make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm, and remain razi bil raza, remain pleased upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm, and decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that if my Rabb is razi, my Rabb is pleased and happy, and he knows my condition, so if he wants to grant me, he will grant me. If he does not want to grant me, he is well aware of my needs and desires. So what ulama they have discussed, this is a very interesting topic, and could you please elaborate on this?
MashaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This topic is very vast.
Yeah.
And it also opens new dimensions and new avenues for our thinking process, for our mindset, the way we perceive dua, how dua is. And it also gives them a better understanding regarding the awliya, regarding the ulama, the chosen elite individuals, those who are chosen in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what their mindset is in relation to dua, how they take dua, and how content they are upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a completely separate dimension, completely separate direction.
Next level.
Ji. Yeah. Inshallah, we will try to break this down bit by bit to have a better understanding of this very subject, and also try to understand that this is the elite status of the elite individuals.
Subhanallah.
Ulama, they've mentioned many aqwal, many sayings over here, and then it is backed up by the sayings, by the actions of the Prophet alayhi salam. And as we will be discussing and elaborating the subject, we will also try to understand the eliteness, the exaltedness.
Whether it is also for the common people or not.
Exactly, the greatness of the awliya. And at the same time, inshallah, will also the greatness, the grandeur of the Prophet alayhi salam will also be unfolded for us. And inshallah, towards the end, the greatest majesty of the final Prophet of Allah, the final messenger of Allah, the seal of the Prophethood, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his greatness will also be reflected in this subject, inshallah. As you started this very topic, that one is asking for dua and one is not asking for dua, with this thought in your mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he's decreed for me, I am pleased over this. Now some ulama, some awliya, they consider this very practice to be more superior than asking dua.
Okay.
That removing dua with this intention that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for me, stop making dua, not to make dua, with this intention that whatever Allah Almighty has destined for me, that is better than making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Who said this?
Imam Wasiti rahmatullahi alayh. He has mentioned this, that whatever Allah has destined for you, considering that to be better and not asking dua, this practice is better for an individual. And many awliya karam rahimahumullah, many ulama, they also stand by this stance and they remain content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this mindset, with this understanding that my Lord, my Rabb, he knows me the best. Whatever he has destined for me, I'm content upon his will, And whatever He's destined for me, that is better than the dua that I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also gives us a firm conviction of understanding and our concrete belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Almighty knows what is best for us. He's our Lord, He's our Almighty. And then ulama, they give here further examples from the Quran of Prophet alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, amongst Anbiya ulul azm, the most highly elevated prophets. Amongst them, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, is that at the time of calamity, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he did not ask for dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that Sayyidina Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, he presented himself in the court of Ibrahim alayhi salam.
So just to clarify further to the viewers of my channel, when Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was about to thrown into the fire, at that moment Sayyidina Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam came and subhanallah offered, what did he say?
Subhanallah. And Jibreel alayhi salam, yes, do you have any desire?
Allahu Akbar.
Any need? Just imagine, pause here for a second.
Your life is at stake.
Life is at stake. And the chief of angels, Allah, the leader of angels, is there by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
to help you.
But Ibrahim alayhi salam, what does he reply? The question was, do you have any desire, any need? What does Ibrahim alayhi salam said? Yes, but not from you.
Allahu Akbar. Because my Lord Azzawajal knows.
Not from you. Then Jibreel alayhi salam carried on to say, then ask for your desire to your Lord Almighty.
Subhanallah.
And then Jibreel alayhi salam, what does he say? That for him to know my state suffices me than for me to ask him question. For me to ask him for my need. For my Lord Almighty to know of my state suffices me then for me to ask him, to pray him or supplicate him for my need, my desire. Now look at the level of reliance, tawakkul of Ibrahim alayhi salam upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not asking for dua over here. He's saying that my Rabb, my Lord Almighty, knows my state. This fact alone suffices me than the fact that I pray to him, that I supplicate to him. And then again further upon this, ulama, they further elaborate on this. They say that the thing that you get without asking is better than the thing that you get after asking.
Allah. Rasulullah Basmi Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi Sharafiqa Akbar, he writes that it's because of this statement which Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam had said at that very moment, like what you've just mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from the fire because of the barakah of the same statement he made then. Allahu Akbar. And 7 days or 40 days he was in fire. And at that moment his age was 16 years. But he was protected even in that fire. Allahu Akbar. Now you can imagine how big that fire would have been where Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown, and for 7 or 40 days he was there. But he was protected from by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the reasons which is mentioned here is this was the barakah of that statement he has made, that my Lord Azza wa Jal knows, Khuda waqif ke hafiz ra gharas chiz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the condition of our hearts. He knows what our desires are. But again, inshallah, we'll further elaborate that these, the ta'alluq, you see, the connection, the relation of one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it also matters, right?
Indeed.
So inshallah, we'll discuss this further. Ji, carry
and
on,
from this very fact, Rizwanbi, of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, having that reliance and being content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama, they deduce these rulings. They're saying that something that you get without asking is better, is superior than the thing that you get after asking, after supplicating for it. Now, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, they asked for certain things in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he sought forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he sought guidance from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were granted both these things.
And it is also mentioned in the Quran, isn't it?
Ji, inshallah, we will cover that as well. Now, what ulama mentioned here is that Ibrahim alayhi salam asked for maqfira, forgiveness, he was granted that. Musa alayhi salam asked for guidance, he was granted that. But now comes the turn of our master, of our aqa, of our mawla, the final messenger of Allah, the seal of the prophethood,
beloved of Allah, Habib Allah,
sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was granted both these things, forgiveness as well as guidance. He didn't ask for it directly. And both these things which were given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were better and superior than that of which were given to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. So they both asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Almighty granted them that. But Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was granted both these things. But they were even far more superior and far more better than what was granted to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam upon their request, upon their du'as in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now these du'as that they made in the court of Allah Almighty, it's been mentioned in the Quran as well, in Surah Shu'ara, verse number 82, the du'a of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is وَالَّذِي أَتْمَعُوا أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ, meaning, and who, I hope, will forgive my sins on the Day of Judgment. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's making this plea in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same surah, in the same chapter, verse number 87, again Ibrahim alayhi salam says, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ, meaning, and do not humiliate me on the day when people will be raised. Now this is the plea that Ibrahim alayhi salam is presenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he's seeking forgiveness, and he's also seeking deliverance from being humiliated on the day when other people will be raised. Now, ulama, they also mention another beautiful point over here, that anbiya, they're ma'asoom, they're infallible, they cannot commit sin, they do not commit sin. Sure. And for a nabi, for a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to supplicate in Allah's court for forgiveness of sins, this is the pinnacle of their humility and humbleness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because humility and humbleness are amongst those attributes which the elite individuals of Allah Almighty they possess. And anbiya are the most elite amongst the creation.
And their action is a ta'aleem, education for us also.
Indeed. Indeed. That is also a lesson, a teaching for the ummah, for the people to follow. So ulama, they mention these two things over here. Number one, this reflects the humbleness, the humility of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how humble he was. And secondly, this was for the teaching of the people, that, O people, you should also be asking these du'as in the court of Allah Almighty. If a prophet of Allah is making these du'as, just imagine how important they are. Seeking forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah Almighty to save me from humiliation of Day of Judgment. So there's a great lesson for us as well in this. And Rizwanday, we also, I should for myself, and we also should contemplate and ponder upon our state, that how many times a day, or a week, or a year, do we actually ask Allah Almighty for the forgiveness of our sins and to be saved from the humiliation on the Day of Judgment, which is the severest of the days.
Absolutely.
We need to reflect upon our state as well. So this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam asked in the Holy Quran, and ulama, they've mentioned these reasons for the asking of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that why is he asking for forgiveness when anbiya are infallible, they're sinless. So these are the reasons. And the other fact that we mentioned of Musa alayhi salam, when he said, when he supplicated for guidance, this again has been mentioned in Surah Qasas, verse number 22, where Musa alayhi salam pleaded in the court of Allah Almighty by saying, "Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani sawa as-sabil," meaning, soon my Lord will show me straight path. So these were the du'as made by Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them duly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the straight path to Musa alayhi salam, granted forgiveness and all that to Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. But after this comes the turn of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we're coming back to the same point, that what you are given without asking is better than what you are given after you ask for it.
And it also tells the status of Rasulullah, how close you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you remain content upon the rida of Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, their proximity in Allah's court is also immense.
No doubt.
Allah Almighty granted that. But no one has the proximity that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he has. Even whatever Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam was granted, that was for the sake of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now comes the second part of the earlier quotation we mentioned, that whatever you are given without asking is better than what you are given by asking. So first, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam covered the part of getting after asking, after supplicating in the court of Allah Almighty. Now is coming when you are given without asking. Now this again in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned over there is the statements of Musa alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Here are the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Surah Fatha, verse number 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ, and the verse then continues, meaning so that he may forgive for your sake the past and future sins of your people. Forgiveness is being granted here as well.
Subhanallah.
But for his sake, to his ummah as well.
Subhanallah.
Now what is being given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam without asking is even better than what was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Again, the element of forgiveness is being granted to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam without asking. Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam is content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The forgiveness is being given to the ummah for the sake of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. At another place, it is stated, this is again in Surah Tahrim, verse number 8, meaning the day Allah will not forsake the Prophet and those who embraced faith with him. Look at the beautiful sequence here, Rizwan bhai, that the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is being given the confirmation of the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only him, also the believers who embraced faith upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In the earlier examples, we saw that Ibrahim alayhi salam was given what he asked for. Musa alayhi salam was given what he was asked for. The Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is being given even he didn't ask for, and for his sake, it was also bestowed upon his ummah as well.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Beautiful point, my respective views of Nabi Sharif. Alhamdulillah, we learned from the ayahs of Quran, and we also learned the status of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, and we learned the point that the great personalities in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they remain content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even sometimes they don't supplicate what they desire. It's not that they don't supplicate at all, mutlaq, and they don't do, they do supplicate, but there are certain occasions, certain moments, and depends upon that time and occasion and that moment, and they decide what to ask and what not to ask, and where to keep quiet and where to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We inshallah further discuss this topic. Now it's time to include one segment in our program, and that is Masnoon Dua, Quran Dua.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Today we will be learning one dua from Quran, and that is Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina. Our Rabb, and do not put heavy burden on us as did on those before us. Respectfully, we were earlier discussing about du'as of our pious predecessors, and especially du'as of Anbiya Kiram. And these du'as, and what we have learned today, right now, this du'a, these du'as which have been taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were made by Anbiya Kiram. So we have learned from Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam also some du'as. These are for us that to learn. This is for us that we can make du'a in the same manner, the way those they were closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this tells us what is the way to make du'a, what are the manners of making du'a, and what to ask, what is best to ask. Alhamdulillah, these beautiful du'as which have been taught in Quran, we should learn them and we should reflect upon them, the meaning of what they are saying. And Alhamdulillah, we can also make same du'as in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be great opportunity for us to get those du'as accepted, because these du'as were made by the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we learn from Quran. Respectfully, one hadith is in front of me. I would like to share the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is a hadith Qudsi. It is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who doesn't get time to make du'a in my court just because of my remembrance. This is the person who is living, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being hukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he doesn't get the time to make du'a in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it keeps him busy in that remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I grant him better than the one I grant who makes dua and asks dua. How would you respond to this beautiful hadith?
SubhanAllah. There's only this hadith, Qudsi, divine hadith that you just mentioned. This is a great eye-opener for us in terms of the entire discussion that we've made so far, where the awliya of Allah, Anbiya Karam alayhi salam, the elite individuals, every moment of theirs is being spent in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the light of this hadith over here, we come to know that when their content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're engrossed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dhikr of Allah Almighty. Now, what Allah Almighty will bestow upon them, what Allah Almighty will grant them, will be better than those who ask dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sort of sums up the entire discussion, the mindset of the awliya that we've been talking about, that they are content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah has decreed for you is better than what you ask Him. And in the previous example we covered, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was not only promised forgiveness, but even his ummah, his followers, his sahaba, they were also promised, and this glad tidings was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Whereas Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, they sought these things from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the same point, it is one way, we spoke about the forgiveness, and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and for his sake, his ummah was also given, is also given forgiveness. Now Musa alayhi salam asked for guidance. He asked for hidayah, for guidance. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said himself to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam regarding guiding him. Again in Surah Fatiha, the second verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning regarding bestowing favors upon Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, upon his ummah, giving forgiveness, so and so forth. It was the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَهْدِيَكَ سِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمًا, meaning, and show you the straight path. There Musa alayhi salam is asking himself. Here Allah Almighty is saying to Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not bless him with his ziyara, with his vision. But when he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on the night of ascension, on the night of Mi'raj, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was called.
Tabarakallah, shanti, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And then Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the state of wakefulness, he beheld Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these accounts, all these ahadith, they show us the rank of the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam being the most elite in the creation, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed all the favors upon him is mentioned to us. Few of them can say, or obviously whatever was given by Allah to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the giver knows and the receiver knows. Allah knows and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam knows. But this hadith which you mentioned, mashallah, the person, the individual who's engrossed in the remembrance of Allah Almighty, and because of this he can't ask Allah Almighty, he can't supplicate to Allah Almighty, Allah Almighty grants him more than those who ask in the court of Allah Almighty. And then this again, Rizwan bi Tawakkul, reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also a very vital part of our faith. And this also shows that those elite individuals, this is their conviction in having that firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Almighty suffices me.
Now it's a time to include one segment in our program, and that is message of the day. Let's include that.
Ud'uni astajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Income is keep on decreasing and debts are piling up. How much stress does this cause? One can't sleep well. Have you ever thought good deeds are decreasing and sins are piling up? Whether it is day or night, it's just one passion, to earn more and more and more. Work, work and work. Money, money and money. When you guide someone, they say, let us settle a little bit. What does little settle mean? We keep on using this excuse, please let us settle down. Let my business settle a little. Once my legal status is properly settled, you will see me in masjid. You are giving these excuses. Let me ask you one question. How many are there who are already settled? They are settled in their business. They have got their passports and everything done. And they turn up in masjid. I don't understand why your settlement is related to worship. Why your settlement is linked to come to masjid. If you couldn't come in the court of Allah in the times of grief, how would you come in the time of happiness? If you are worried because of debt, come in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put your head in his court and ask for help. But oh Allah, I'm in problem. Please help me. Ask your parents to do dua for you. But please come towards righteousness. It's only Allah who will take you out of problem. We see people, they're infected in all sorts of problems. They've got issues at home. They've got family problems, financial problems, diseases. They've got all sorts of issues, problems, and tensions in their lives. But when you ask them, where is your taqwa? They reply in asking, what is taqwa? What is piety? This is our condition. We've heard the name of taqwa. piety, but I pray may we also get this quality. Yes, you will surely find ways to get out of these problems, these issues. Allah will help you, because we have read true accounts of those they had taqwa and piety. Allah help them to get out of problems and issues.
What a beautiful message, my dear respected viewers of Manajan. Again, it also talked about dua, making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning back in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming and showing remorse, regret, and asking for forgiveness. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, this is something very important. We need to come back in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Rahman, He is Rahim, He forgives us, and He forgives the mistakes. May Allah give us tawfiq that we should seek forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to make dua for this dunya as well as for the hereafter. And now, respective viewers, is the time to include another segment, and that is blessings of Ummi Attar, a personality which we'll be discussing, personality of the day. Let's include that segment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Second views of Madani Channel, as I earlier discussed that, in this program, we've got various segments, and one segment is we choose one personality and we discuss about that, and we learn Madani pearls from the seerah and biography of that personality. And today, we have selected a beautiful personality, and that is mother of Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadri, my Sheikh Tariqat, my mentor, my guide, my Sheikh, Damat Barakatuhum Al Aliya, subhanAllah. What a great mother, subhanAllah, who has given this ummah. Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhu Al Aliya, who has changed lives of tens of thousands of lives, millions of lives, Alhamdulillah, who has brought revolution across the globe, Alhamdulillah. And I can talk and talk and talk about the blessings of Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhu Al Aliya, who has been a beautiful blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, for the ummah. But no doubt credit goes to the mother also, who raised this child and who, subhanAllah, gave birth to Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadri. Ummi Attar, we'll be discussing today, mother of our Sheikh Tariqat Amir of Ahl Sunnah. Wasim Abbasbhai, could you please elaborate on this beautiful personality, Ummi Attar, mother of Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadri? Damat barakatuh.
SubhanAllah. It is one way, when we talk about certain personalities, and even in the history, we find there are certain personalities who have a long-lasting, revolutionary, a transformational impact upon the ummah, either through their own personal impact services or through their upbringing of their children, who eventually become a transformational luminary individual for the ummah. And Ummi Attar, the mother of our Shaykh Amir al-Sunnat, Maulana Ilyas Qadri Sahib. Many people perhaps wouldn't know about her, wouldn't know about, these are those hidden gems who have done immense favor upon the ummah by raising their children in such a manner, who in future would become the Amir, the leader of the Ahlus Sunnah, who would become the founder of the biggest Islamic organization, who would have such kind of long lost effects upon the ummah that even the coming generations would be indebted to them.
The founder of Madani Channel. We are doing this from him. SubhanAllah. See, people are benefiting.
SubhanAllah. When we talk about the mother of our Shaykh, Rahmatullahi Alayha, she was a very pious lady, very pious and very muttaqi lady. And when we look at the family background of our Shaykh, the Amir of Al-Sunnah, they were not a very wealthy family. They were not a very rich family. And they belonged to a very poor background. And the difficulties, the life challenges you can imagine, especially in poor countries, what challenges we go through, the basic necessities are not there, and we struggle for even basic necessities. But in these dire situations, in such poverty, the mother of the Amir of Ahl Sunnah brought him up in such a manner from a very young age, a religious mindset was instilled within the mind of Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya. And the credit entirely goes to the mother, the way she brought him up, because the father, Rahmatullah Alayh, of Amir al-Sunnah had passed away even before that. So it was the sole responsibility of the mother to bring her son up and other children up as well. And the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhu Al-Aliyah, he has also mentioned the greatness of his mother, how pious she was, and what great environment they had in their house, where from a very young age, the Islamic teachings, the morals, the character, this conduct, all these were embedded into his character. And I personally believe, Rizwan Bey, that Umm Attar, the mother of Mawlana Ilyas Qadri Sahib, she is a perfect role model for our Islamic sisters. No. Not only them, even for Islamic brothers, that how to raise your children. Now, within that very personality, there are many, many traits, many attributes that you can see. Bringing up of children, taqwa, piety, being content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, patience, all those attributes that we read in a hadith, that we read that how an ideal Muslim should be, we find those in the mother of our Shaykh, the mother of Amir al-Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliyah. In such dire situations, she brought up her beloved son, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, and the religious values from a very young age were grounded within his personality. And Amir al-Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, you can imagine from this very statement of his, that when the beloved mother, rahmatullah alayha, of the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah, she passed away, it was on 17th of Safar, 1398 Hijri. When she passed away, the blessed body is lying in the house, but it was time for Salah Allah. In the masjid. You can imagine what testing times there would be. And bearing in mind that mother is a very big support for a child, especially in these testing times, when you are financially struggling, when all these calamities would surround you from all corners, mother is someone who stands up for you. That very support has passed away, and the blessed body is lying over there. It's time for the Salah. Oh, and wow. Our Shaykh Amir al-Islam, at a young age, he's young at that time, goes to the masjid, and he doesn't miss the Jamaat. He offers Salah with Jamaat. Now, this very incident, obviously, Amir al-Sunnah from a very young age had this mindset, but who instilled this mindset in him? We read the seerah of Ghawth al-Azam, rahmatullah alayhi, how his parents brought him up, how they were muttaqi and pious themselves, and then that was transformed from them into their children, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi, and what blessings he took from his parents, and he became Ghawth al-Azam. Many accounts we see in the history. And for Mawlana Ilyas Qadri Sahib to become the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah, the initial upbringing and the initial nourishment, the initial, bringing up this credit goes to the mother. The mother of Amir al-Sunnah. She is that unsung hero who gave this beautiful gift to this ummah. And my Shaykh, the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, he himself mentions that when his mother passed away, it was Friday night. What a great blessing. It was Friday night, and he says that by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she recited the statement of faith. Allah. She recited
shahada.
The kalama, the shahada. And her face was gleaming. It was bright. And he says that the area where the ghusl, the bathing took place, it remained fragrant for many days. And then he says that that very fragrance that was distinct and especially on the night that she was passed away, the state of that fragrance was very unique. It was special. And on the third morning, he says that I brought some rose petals and they remained fresh until the evening. And he says that I adorned her grave with the flowers. And this aroma and the scent which emanated from the grave, he says that I never scented that before.
Allah.
And then even that aroma, that scent stayed, he says that on my hands for several days as well. And furthermore, he says that all this grace, this bounty, this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon my mother was because of being a humble servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And whoever is bestowed by the grace of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam attains spiritual and physical enlightenment, and then others around the globe continue to gain blessings from this enlightenment. And then he carries on to say that by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my mother, rahmatullah alayha, during her last breath, she was blessed with kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And in the hadith of Abu Dawud Sharif, it has been mentioned that the person whose last words are La ilaha illallah will enter paradise. So very briefly, it is one way we try to cover the biography of the unsung hero of the legendary personality of this era, that very personality, that very mother who gave this ummah the gift, the blessing of Allah in the shape of the Amir of Al-Sunnah, who was brought up in such a manner, who would become a legendary luminary in the future. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his countless mercies and blessings upon the shrine of Ummi Attar, mother of Amir al-Sunnah, and for her sake, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all his sins.
This was the love of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, love of Rasul Azad rahmatullahi ta'ala, love of Awliya Allah, love of Ahlul Bayt, love of Sahaba al-Kiram, which was instilled in this child who then became Amir of Ahlul Sunnah. And definitely credit goes to the mother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower countless blessings upon her shrine and forgive us for her sake. Ameen. Sure. Now it's the time to include our last segment, which is Fatiha Dua. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
We'll first listen Munajat, inshallah. This is also a form of a dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in poetic form. We'll listen that, inshallah. You can also join with concentration, with utmost focus, inshallah. Having this in mind that we are making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, followed by collective dua, and then we will end our program. So leave anything unnecessary and have focus and attention and join in this dua. We never know, across the globe, tens of thousands of people will be watching right now, Malaysian, they will join anyone who is more closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if his or her dua or ameen is also included in our dua, collective dua. Maybe our duas will also be accepted. Inshallah will be accepted because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our duas. Ji, please, munajat.
میں اپنی گمایا الہی نہ پاؤں میں اپنا بتایا الہی رہوں مستوں پہ خود میں تیری ولا میں پلا جام ایسا پلا یا الہی پلا جام ایسا پلا یا الہی تو اپنی ولایت کی خیرات دے دے تو اپنی کی خیرات دے دے میرے غوث کا واسطہ یا الہی میرے غوث کا واسطہ یا الہی گناہوں نے میری کمر تو ڈالی گناہوں نے میری کمر توڑ ڈالی میرا حشر میں ہو کا کیا یا الہی میرا حشر میں ہوگا کیا یا الہی بنا دے مجھے نیک نیکوں کا صدقہ گناہوں سے ہر دم بچایا الہی گناہوں سے ہر دم بچایا الہی مسلمان ہے عطار تیری Rishta se Musalma hai Attar Teri Ata se Ho Iman par Khatima Ya Ilahi Ho Iman par Khatima Ya Ilahi Mahabbat mein apni gumaya ilahi na paun main apna bataya ilahi
ya rabbana ya rabbana ya rabbana ya rabbana ya rabbana ya arhamar rahimin يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا غفور يا غفور يا رب العالمين
آمين.
اللهم أجرنا من النار
آمين.
يا مجير يا مجير يا مجير
آمين.
يا الله يا كريم يا رحمن يا رحيم يا حنان يا منان يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم يا واسع الكرم يا رحمن يا رحيم تجھے تو خبر ہے میں کتنا برا ہوں تجھے تو خبر ہے میں کتنا برا ہوں تو عیبوں کو میرے چھپایا الہی تو عیبوں کو میرے چھپایا الہی رحمان یا رب ذوالجلال once again we raise the sinful filthy hands in your pure pak bargah یا رب ذوالجلال we are asking for forgiveness یا رب ذوالجلال you know our condition یا رحمان whenever we look our nama i'amal book of deed it is full of sin یا اللہ we don't find any good deed which can be presented in your pure pak bargah As a wasila, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, we have got nothing. Ya Allah, Azza wa Jal, just we have got hope. But your mercy, Rahma, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, which is immense, Ya Maliku Mola, shower your mercy upon us. Ya Allah,
Ameen.
Forgive us. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, forgive us.
Ameen.
For the sake of merciful Prophet, alayhi wa salam.
Ya
Rabbi Zul Jalal, forgive us. For the sake of Anbiya Ikiram, alayhi wa salam. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, forgive us. For the sake of those who are close in your court, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Ya Maliku Mola, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Forgive us, Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Clean our filthy
Ameen.
Hearts also,
Ameen.
Ya Allah.
Ameen.
Make us pious also, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Alaykum Ola, make this dunya in hereafter better, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Give us tawfiq that, Ya
Ameen.
Allah, when we live on Iman,
Ameen.
Faith, when we die, we depart from this mortal world. Upon Iman, upon faith. And we recite Shahada, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, when we
Ameen.
Depart from this mortal
Ameen.
World. Ya Allah, those that ill give them shifa. یہ کیوں کہوں کہ مجھ کو یہ عطا ہو وہ عطا ہو وہ دو کہ ہمیشہ میرے گھر بھر کا بھلا ہو مٹی نہ ہو برباد پسے مرگ الہی جب خاک اڑے میری مدینے کی ہوا ہو ان اللہ و ملائکتہ یصلون علی النبی یا ایہا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما صلى الله على النبي الأمي وآله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله يا الله جب دمي باطسي هو سامنه هو روزائي رسول الله آخومه هو جلبائي رسول الله يا الله the time for last breath we recite شهادة أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله آمين بجاه النبي الأمين لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم And the Islamic brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept du'as. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. That's all for today. Inshallah, we'll be back next week, same time, same channel, with another beautiful topic regarding du'a. Keep watching Madani channel. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.